to GalacticConnection.com, one of the most popular blogs on the World Wide Web today for alternative news. Stay tuned for the latest information on our world shift from enslavement to galactic involvement, as well as current intel on any blockages impeding us from our sovereign birthright. Knowledge and self-mastery are key at this time. Our commitment is to present you with the latest breaking conspiratorial articles, off-world messages, exopolitics, cutting-edge technologies and sciences, and also an ever-significant intertwining of spiritual support and metaphysical scope that one needs to dive down the rabbit hole and search for truth with balance. We are truly on the horizon of a new golden age filled with the promise for more love, worldwide peace, and accelerated intuitive skills, where every living being can exist in cohesion and abundance. It is whatever we envision and dream this new world to be. I say to you now, let's redefine the new world to the beginnings of our own precious heaven on earth. Galactic Connection is here to provide the pulse of Mother Earth through an eclectic range of interviews each Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4:55 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Station 2 on BBS Radio, expanding your perspectives on how we can once and for all take back our freedoms, our joy, and our connection with our mighty I Am presence. Our intention remains true to connect hearts and minds everywhere in order to obtain global unity and galactic and universal acceptance. Our discussions will continue to cover anything to do with galactic society and our involvement with our galactic brothers and sisters. Our guests are experts in their fields, and our radio shows have been coined as some of the most thought-provoking out there. In addition to our daily blog, which runs 365 days a year, we also offer a realm of healing services such as our world-renowned implant removal processes, our spiritual past life clearings, our galactic violet ray alchemy from Alexandra, who shares in the lineage of Merlin, and other cutting-edge healing technologies. Check our site out at galacticconnection.com now. Sending you a wave of light, love, and inspiration, and a personal hug and thank you for listening to our Galactic Connection radio show and visiting our blog today. Everyone, this is Alexandra Metters of GalacticConnection.com, and yes, indeed, I have an on-the-fly interview with none other than Tori Smith. I know it's been a while, and a lot of people of you have asked, where has he been with the Galactic Connection interviews? So, lo and behold, he has some phenomenal announcements to make today. The date for today is March 23rd, 2016. Got that right, Tori. And I want you all to know that I was awakened at around 4:44 p.m. I mean, a.m. Jeez, where is my head today? And before I get started, I want to share the message that came in before we dive in with Tori's exciting information. But I do want to state, and Tori has made this very clear after contacting his advisors and legal team, that the views and opinions that are expressed on this program with Tori Smith are not necessarily the views and opinions of those of myself and GalacticConnection.com. So now that we have that out of the way, I want to share a message that came in right before I interviewed him today. So I could tell that there's some orchestration going on. And it says, light is penetrating every aspect of society. It's giving us examples, but it's also playing out in the background, in the mysteries of another plane of existence. Many victories are being attained to bring forth the much needed balance on this planet. And in the days to come, that which some see and not all, across the veil, there will become an everyday way of life and an everyday way of being and seeing life. Some of us have already reactivated our inherent gifts to see through everything and understand what goes on within our physical reality. It is not necessarily what occurs across the veil, that which many fear to conceive or deny its existence, but for the path of all of the emissaries out there wishing to serve a higher purpose than this illusory matrix. What goes on the other side of the veil is where one finds the truth, the mysteries of life. The definition of insanity is what? Let's decide what insanity really is. It is but the ability to see other realities that in the days of old was actually commonplace back in the times of the Druids. It keeps us in a mind as you share the information of the sleeping giant. What I was writing, remember, this is at 4:44 in the morning, was keep this in mind as we realize that the sleeping giant is waking up, reminding them also that their day nears when they too will see this different essence of life. Tory Smith, as many of you know, has committed his entire life to the exposure of child sacrifice and satanic ritual. He is what many consider to be, and what I consider to be, a powerful knight of days gone past, who is clearly, in my opinion, one of the most courageous and heroic people I know, and he hates hearing this, but it's true. He is emerging the truth, and the truth being the light and also what is really being done on the inner planes of existence. And many of us avoid this topic with such amount of detail that he provides, but he's so good at the humor that he can bring and see the, what's that called, the other part of the veil, try to bring some beauty into such a horrific situation around this globe. He said to me the other day that someone referred to him as a hero, denying it because he commutated that his willingness was not necessarily there, and that the desire to do it was what he was also not there. But I have reminded Tori that very, 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 very few have been as committed to removing so many of the beings and entities that truly do not hold love in their hearts and the desire to free all human beings and all living beings from enslavement. This is what I want to say about Tori Smith. Sorry about that. It's a little fragmented, but hey, I had to read my notes. So, you know, he goes without any introduction. A lot of you know that he's taken so much heat, and many of the politicians, many of the world leaders think he's insane. Actually, sometimes he wishes he wasn't selected or chose to do this kind of work. But I know for one, after receiving multiple phone calls from this man, that he is legitimate in what he does and his commitment to serving all of us and this planet, and most especially Mother and Father God. So with that said, I want to thank you, Tori, from the bottom of my heart for all the crap that you put up with.
It's a lot.
I mean, the immense amount of pain and suffering and turmoil. And the first question I want to ask you right out the gate is, a lot of people will say, but Tori, why are you not asking for more protection? Why are you not asking for more help? What would you say to them?
Well, I would say that you don't know what I've been through. That if you think I don't have protection, then really a person has absolutely no idea what I've been through, because it's been a lot. It has really been a lot. I usually say that this began for me in January of 2012, but that's when I consciously became aware, because they were using a stun gun on me before that. And I, later on, there's many ways to check things, but I checked that they used a stun gun on me over 80,000 times. And I was, you know, because when we're not exposed to, you know, kind of like X-Files activity, you know what I mean? When this first began to me, things were happening that I knew things were happening, but I thought, how can this be? You know, we always say, oh, I must be, you know, imagining things or whatever. But it was when there was one incident in where I was literally picked up in the air and thrown. And then that happened several times. And I knew that, wait a minute, there's no way that I could be creating this in my mind.
Correct.
And, you know, and then the physical injuries started. You know, most of my injuries happen while I'm sleeping. And, you know, I have poison marks all over my legs again. I got to a point where my legs were cleared up, but they're really, really angry right now. When I say they're angry, I usually call them the dark side or the Nazis, because it's basically, you know, a lot of people have the belief that when you die, God judges you, and if he doesn't like you, he sends you off to a place called hell. Well, this is hell. And many people feel that they're trapped here, but really what happens is you have to develop up your sacred light to a point basically to get out. And I always like to speak in the absolute simplest of terms, because you know there's a lot of people that have been to college and speak in words that a lot of people don't understand. And that's why I always like to use, you know, the simplest terminology, which sometimes does not encompass how incredibly complex something is.
Yes.
And a lot of people always ask me, especially because, you know, I live out in the country again. I'm from Indiana. I moved to the East Coast. I lived on the East Coast for 15 years, and then I moved back. And so much has happened. There's been so much with going on the earth, with here in Indiana, but since that especially since I moved into child trafficking because I was exposed to it. And the first time that I witnessed child trafficking all these places I described, and which we don't really have to talk a lot about because I have a huge amount of videos online and people can go to get details in the videos. That's why I put them out, because I wanted to bring awareness. I wanted to put out 5 to 10 minute videos so somebody could say, okay, let me see what's going on. And then I decided to
Hold on one second. I just want to say something. It is crucial for people to understand why you have been so fired up about taking this on as a mission. So please do yourself a favor, because he himself has been the recipient of this exact crime and criminal behavior that is being extended to all of our beautiful children on this planet. So please check it out. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, yeah, because they treated me just like they treat the children. I mean, I was raped right alongside the children. Right. And that's the first time was, while I was being raped, they murdered 54 children in the room, which I can't go into. I mean, I can go into many details about that. But what will happen is, if I connect to that too much, I tend to have some sort of a seizure. And my head will just start snapping, my arm. I can't control my body. And then I have to run and hold on to something. Otherwise, I'll just collapse on the floor.
It's post-traumatic stress.
Yeah, it is. And then there was a little girl. See, because what had happened was, a lot of the times they paralyze people and they use drugs on people. So you're not really aware. You know what's going on, but you're kind of like in a dream state and you don't. And what happened was they all left the room. There was a gang rape. You know, we were all on these table beds, and then all the males left. And there was a time, and I woke up, and then I could move my head, and I was talking to a little girl next to me, and I think I was able to speak, if I remember right. There was about a dozen kids that I was able to speak to. And this little girl, I later found out she was 5 years old, but the first thing she said to me was, she said, "Mommy says there's no monsters." And this is coming from a five-year-old girl who had just been raped repeatedly over and over again. And it just, for the longest time, I couldn't even focus on that little girl because I would just absolutely freak out.
Yeah, I bet.
As time has passed, and, you know, because I've moved from they're doing this to me to this is what I'm doing to do everything I can to do my part to bring this to an end. And so it did help. I mean, that was my biggest therapy, was not to run and hide, was to say, hey, you know, I'm going to take a stand and I'm going to do what I can. And I know a lot of people aren't going to believe this. A lot of people aren't going to want to hear this. But as time went on and I did more and more detailed reports, so much other information was coming in, which I never planned on. In fact, I was talking to my spirit guides a couple days ago, because there's so many people on the internet who will say things like, oh, come here to get your news. We're going to have the breaking stories. And we were kind of laughing about that, but it's kind of sad that people compete with each other to see who can tell you the horrible news first, which to me is completely third dimension egoic behavior. I would rather come from the place of, okay, this is what's happened. Why don't we all get together and discuss how we can take steps so this will never happen again? But people aren't like that. And but then a lot of people are being controlled too. There's a lot of chips going on. And but most of the things I get are, you know, how dare you say this about me? Where do you get your information from? Which I would like to address. And yeah, normally,
I would like you to address that, but I would like you to just clarify something for me. How old were you when this kind of stuff was going on?
You mean supernatural? Oh, my whole life. I could see ghosts from when I was a child. Well, I didn't know until now, but I was targeted by the Archons at 5 years old.
Five.
Okay. And I started having sex when I was 8 years old.
Jesus.
And my sister as well was, my sister used to get gang raped a lot as a child. And they would bring me along to be with her. And we used to drink heavily. And, you know, this is back in the 70s. I was born in 1963 and started having sex very, very early. And, you know, I didn't really even know what it was. It was always like, well, you can't tell anybody about this. You know, no one can know. And, you know, it was all without emotion. It was just basically carnal sex acts that my sister and I were going through. And it wasn't violent. Like, I don't think I was ever really beaten as a child. I don't think she was either. But my sister had an abortion when she was 11 years old.
Oh.
And I know that a lot of people have very strong feelings about abortions. But I make the comment that I don't think any 11-year-old girl should have to go through that. But we live in a society where children are preyed upon. Yeah. There's a huge amount of predators. And so it's not like I just decided one day, oh, I think I'm going to create a website and put out information so that I can become famous or whatever. That's what you know, a lot of people have accused me of. In fact, I've had to stop on my blog putting information on my blog because people would just go to the blog to ask me for readings. Well, I stopped offering DNA readings over a year ago. It's February 3rd, 2015.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I received hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of requests after that. And I haven't checked the email again, but even as much as like 2 weeks ago, there were still people asking me for readings. And it's just become too much. And so what's happened though in my personal life is it expanded much beyond that because to make the long story short, the Illuminati knew what my gifts were. They knew that in 2009, I became able to witness DNA. And the way that works is, well, like with you, I could say, okay, I would like to pull up Alexander's DNA. And your DNA appears right in front of me. Well, everyone's does.
Right.
And then I would say, okay, well, it's to say it was a process. I didn't just go from nothing to high level of expertise. It was a process that over the years, because I started reading Species in 2010, and that became more detailed. And then later on, I was able to say, okay, well, this guy's 58% reptilian, 10% amphibian, and the rest human, which is what, 68, I always have to add, stop and add, which is 32% human or whatever. But everybody, there's so many different species, 800 million species in our universe.
Wow.
And we have a lot of species going on here. And one of the things that came up when I was doing DNA readings is, you know, I tell people it's kind of like if you moved around a lot in the States, because I look at them and say, okay, when you came into this galaxy, the first place you lived was Lyra. And then you lived in Vega, and then you lived in Sirius B, and then Astrope, Merope, Alcyone. And when you lived in Alcyone, first you lived inside the star, and then you lived on the fourth planet. And then you moved to Taygeta, and you lived on planets Era and Decote. And then it goes on and on and on. And, you know, I thought it was really cool. And they're like, because people ask me, well, am I Pleiadian or Andromedan? Well, yes, you have a history in both. And I tell people, it's like, well, you ever know somebody that's moving around or that? Well, I'm from New York, but then my father had to move to South Carolina, and then you had to go up to Michigan for some reason, and then we moved all the way out to California, and then we moved back to Texas. You know what I mean? And say, well, where are you from? Well, I like to consider myself a New Yorker, but I only lived there for 5 years before we moved away. You know what I mean? It's kind of like that.
I can relate to that, being a military brat. And also, what you're saying is that essentially there's a very kind of specific path that our souls follow in our reincarnation cycle of where we go from planet to planet.
And I think that also depends on the way that star systems were developed. And I know that the Pleiades are still being developed because when I first researched the Pleiades, there were 70 star systems, 70, that had sentient colonies of human life, like here on Earth, and 70. And I just talked to the Galactics the other day. A group of Pleiadians were out on a ship outside, and I started talking with them. And I asked them about it. They said, no, now it's 73. So now it's 73 star systems in the Pleiades have colonies. It's just like our solar system here on Earth. And it's funny because when I was in high school, they used to try to tell us, well, the only place intelligent life exists here on Earth. And I used to laugh about that. I said, really? There's intelligent life here on Earth? And then other people would say, you know, do you believe that there's intelligent life out there? And I said, well, is there any intelligent life here? You know what I mean? Because witnessing what's going, you know, Vietnam and 4 million people murdered in Vietnam and then South Korea and all these wars. It was just so senseless. I just think that the way we live on this planet, it is changing, you know, so.
And this, this is why we're doing this interview, is so you can share the realizations and the changes that are going on behind the veil. You know, I really want to stress this. I get emails too from people going, I just don't get Torrey Smith. I just don't get how he sees all this stuff, and yet it's not really on the physical plane. Could you please explain it to me? But I can say that even with the implant removal process, it's one and the same. I mean, when we're removing these implants that, you know, we just checked in today, some of these implants that we remove are back from 1.7 million years ago.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, there's...
And yet, on the physical, when you wake up the next day, you can be very sore. You can be very tired. You know, you're on your physical body because your physical is the last place that it unfolds. You know, it's the last place that it'll show itself. Everything's being done in the other auric fields and dimensional fields. So this is where Torrey operates.
Yeah, and I've been, you know, because when this started for me, because what happened was I became very ill. And I had what's considered to be three terminal illnesses at the same time. And I had a near-death experience. And as a matter of fact, in the room right over there, my sister also died in that room over there. She died of a brain tumor when she was 31. And I was 31, and my mom was absolutely flipping out. She kept saying, I can't lose another child. I can't lose another child. And so I asked God, well, I'd like to stay. And because I had completed my chart, I was charted from up to there, and I had charted to die when I was 31. And if those of you don't know that, anybody who comes here from heaven has to sign a contract with God that we mostly call a chart. Some people call Akashic record. And because sometimes we use different words for the same thing, it doesn't really matter. You know, what you call something, as long as people understand what the subject is. But, and when I came back, I said, okay, well, I'm not going to be here and be sick the whole time. So I said, I want to heal completely. And which I hear the opposite from doctors, you know, there's the local hospital groups, the doctor, oh, you'll never heal. You know, I don't understand how doctors can tell patients that they will never heal. That really pissed me off.
I know, me too.
And I've had so many doctors tell me that I'm going to, oh, you're going to die in 90 days. Really? How do you know?
They're playing God. They're totally playing God. And, you know, that is an old paradigm, Torrey, because even if we have a contract that states we're going to die at 31, what you've proven and many others are proving, that game is over. We can break those contracts and start anew. That's the cool part.
Well, this is what I advise, because Sylvia Brown, which I've said many times, was my foremost spiritual teacher. There's a lot of spiritual teachers I've had in my life. Sylvia Brown's the only one that I met in person and actually got to work for her. And it was a wonderful experience. And I think that that happened was because we are very aligned. And usually, a lot of times, well, not usually, but a lot of times in heaven, they'll refer to me as Sylvia Brown's student. Because a lot of her beliefs, I see the same thing. And so to back up a little bit where I was, when I came back, I told God, okay, if I'm going to be here, number one, I'm not going to be sick. I want to heal completely. And I knew that I had healing powers, especially like when I was a bartender. Now I can tell you I had 17 lifetimes as a therapist, and that's what made me a good bartender. And then also my other secret was people used to say, my God, I don't even remember leaving the bar last night. What is your secret as a bartender? And I would say, I don't use any mixer. You know what I mean? Just don't use anything. Yeah, there was rum with like a tiny little bit of Coke to make it look brown. And then I'd squeeze a lemon in there with like, I mean, there was no Coke. There was like less than, you know, two drops of Coke in your drink. And I need to make wicked drinks, wicked strong. Serve until they drop. That was my motto. Because everybody loved me. It was great. Well, there was a class of people that always went to the model bartenders and everything. And they like, cause this is in South Beach in New York. And, we call them babies, you know, customers that come up and drink at your bar. Usually it was the locals that came up to me. It was people that worked in other nightclubs, people that worked in bars and restaurants. So my babies were all the locals, part of the community. And it was so wonderful because like I'd go out to a nightclub, I'd run in the door, and there were a lot of people like me. The first thing I would do is kiss 30 or 40 people hello. It was just running around kissing and hugging everybody. I love South Beach. Now it's all changed down there. Yeah. But so anyway, what I did was in that time I said I want to learn, I want to become a better person, I want to help people. And so I turned my life over to God and I turned my life over to the angels, and I said, okay, from now on out, you know, my contract is complete, you're the one in control of my life, so let's go. And what happened to me over the next few years is I became almost like a ravenous desire to study what every spiritual teacher was putting out. And almost every book that I would read was either written by a doctor or by a spiritual teacher. And one of the first people I learned from was a woman named Carolyn Mace. And her last name is spelled M-Y-S-S.
Yes.
And she came out, and because she had books of like why some people heal and why some people don't. And the biggest thing I learned from her was she was talking about the energies of the groups that you belong to, because those energies dramatically affect you. And she talked about the military. And she said, if you're a member of the military, your healing is going to be the slowest, because the military doesn't change quick. You know what I mean? It takes them decades to change one simple idea. They never do anything, you know, fast. And she also said...
And don't you think too, Tori, it's because they're constantly doing maneuvers and training. It's constant.
Well, I really believe is because the military is basically told what to believe and told what to do. And they're told what a lot of religious people are told. You know, religious people are told that you can't have a one-on-one connection with God, especially the Catholics. You know, the Vatican would say, okay, if you want to learn about God, you need to go to this guy in the black dress, you know what I mean, or whatever. You need to go, I call them all drag queens at the Vatican, but actually that's an insult to the drag queens of this planet. But you know what, they say you can't, and that's what the difference between religion and spirituality. Spirituality says, I have a direct cord of energy between me and goes directly into the heart of Mother, Father, God. And you connect directly, you receive information directly, you receive protection directly, all of that. And so for years, I just did what was in front of me. You know, I was doing daily remote healing work. And I mean, we're talking about, I think I did that for 10 years before I really even knew what I was doing, because I was just doing it from past memory. And I was filling everybody with light and doing all these things. And because my psychic ability, well, everyone has psychic ability. We're just told that we don't. We're constantly repressed and put down by society because the controllers did not want us to break free of their control system and move back to the way it was before they took control. Like this one woman a couple years ago, she said, well, I'm terrified, because I was talking about people from other worlds. She goes, oh my God, I'm so afraid of aliens. I'm so afraid they're going to come here and take over this planet. I started laughing. I'm like, honey, they already did. They did 13,000 years ago, and humans have been their slaves ever since. And you know, she's just like, you know what I mean? And that comes up because, well, Sylvia Brown had a book about it called Past Lives, Future Healing, and it was all about negative cell memory.
Yeah.
And what you'll find is, as a matter of fact, the two questions that you asked me were based on negative cell memory, because a lot of people contacted me about Planet Nibiru. And I'm so afraid Nibiru's going to come and kill us all. What are we going to do? I know Nibiru's coming back. And I say to them, no, it's not. You were already killed by this planet during one of its passes, and you're remembering being killed by this planet because it was a huge traumatic ordeal for you.
Right.
And they're like, wow, I was really killed? Yeah, and you can let that go because it's not going to happen now. Nibiru's under contract.
That's why we have to question all the stuff that's coming up and seeing it from a different lens, because our manual of how we've lived life and seen life is not applicable anymore. This is a purging. You know, by purging, we're not just talking pain and suffering, we're talking memories.
Yes.
And these memories go back, and what I'm finding in my work, it's not just this world age. We're talking some other serious, very long world ages, because you're getting into convoluted conversations such as timelines, space-time continuum, dimensions, and we don't really have the capacity to wrap our heads around that. So we need to understand that our multidimensionality is coming to a unification.
Yes, but that's because of our location. That's because of our physical bodies right now. We're in the third dimension, and that's why we aren't the way we normally are in heaven, and that's why we're so cut off. And that's exactly what I tell people. I say, hey, you know, instead of saying what this guy says cannot be true, say, hey, wait a minute, this guy says something and I'm freaked out about it. I want to know if that's true. So what do you do? You go to the universe and you say, hey, I want to know the truth. I create an intent because I want to know the truth. This guy is saying some really devastating things that are going on. If that's true, show me the evidence. Show me the evidence. And then to the other thing you said, like the other day I did this DNA reading for a woman, and one of her questions was, you know, did I live in other galaxies before I moved here to the Milky Way? And the answer was yes. I could go back because I have limits. You know, I can't see everything. In fact, I don't see most things. I usually see what people have questions about, and then I do my best to put that into words so they can, because a lot of times people are like, oh my God, I can't believe you said that. I felt this way my whole life. And she had lived in 17 galaxies before moving here, because most humans that are here in the Milky Way moved here about 6 million years ago. And then she had been a Galactic Federation. I can't remember. It was over, like, I think it was somewhere between 80 and 100 times she had been a Galactic Federation of Light member. And what came up was, since she's lived in the Milky Way, she's visited 117 other galaxies, because they just have this technology. Well, all these people that are being arrested, it takes them 35 minutes. And I think it's like 3 billion light years away. And they say, well, it takes a lot. It actually takes longer to get people to move around and be where they're supposed to be than it actually does for the flight. You know, like when you're going to, if you travel by air here and go on the jet, you know, like going through the airport, waiting in bags, you know, stuff like that. You got to wait here and I go sit down over there. Then we get on the plane. Then you got to wait some more on the plane. And, you know, a lot of times the flight is less than your airport maneuverability time.
Yeah.
And that's what I see with these galactic flights. And, but things have changed really dramatically lately.
About, well, not only that, but that's an illusion too. Just the fact that it takes so many hours to go from point A to point B on this planet, even that they're proving has been manipulated.
Yeah.
Because they're not willing to fly in a certain direction. And it's, you know, that whole thing. But now, Tori, you brought up a really good point, and that is the arrests. And one of the main reasons that you called me and really wanted to do this interview is you felt you had some pretty phenomenal information regarding that. Before you get into the details, can you share, how are these arrests being played out? Because people are not seeing them on the physical plane.
Well, and see, that's what I like. That goes to me, goes back to the question, Tori, how do you know this to be true?
Right.
Okay. I chose years ago to have my DNA activated. I went from, we were all at two strands. Two strands activated is called a state of limited consciousness. And what that means is we don't have access to most of our gifts, most of our human gifts that God gave us. At two strands activated, we don't even know they're there. And a lot of times we say, oh no, that's not possible. You know, like people do levitation or telepathy or, you know, oh no, that can't be true. You know what I mean? So, because we're in this headset here. So I went from 2 to 144 to 156, and then I went up to 144,000, and then they came and activated me. And I can't remember if there was one in between that, but then I remember I was at 512,000, which is just over 500,000. And then last year, the Divine Director selected me to bring me up to full consciousness level, and I'm activated now to 1,007,000 strands activated. Okay, that's full consciousness level for most humans. However, it takes a while to kick in.
Yeah.
And also, we're still here in the third dimension, which, if I understand correctly, we're about to shift. If I understand correctly, we're moving into the fifth dimension this summer. And I'm getting like somewhere between July and August, this planet is going to make the shift. And then we're going to take all the steps. People like Sheldon Neidl has been talking about, his books and DVDs outlining so much stuff that's going on. And that's when we're going to start cleaning up the planet and whatnot. But everybody that has less than 51% sacred light has to leave. They cannot stay here because they cannot handle the the shift in vibration. Is it vibratic shift? I don't know. It's the shift in vibration they can't handle, because what would happen is, like, you know, these dark entities that were here for so long, if they were in place and the planet shifted, they would just explode. But first, what would happen is they would go crazy and cause lots of problems for everybody else. And they were like, well, everybody's causing problems already, the dark entities, you know, the wars and all this stuff. Yeah, but it could have been a lot worse. Like, there was this one time that Dick Cheney hired Mossad to plant 31 nuclear bombs all over this country. If we didn't have Galactics, oh my God, that was such a stressful weekend too, because they're constantly coming in. They come in their temporal bodies, they're screaming at me. And then, excuse me, the Galactics took the bombs because Mother Gaia does not want bombs going off on this planet. And it's like, where the hell are the bombs? I'm like, what are you asking me for? You know, I'm just a stupid hick in the Midwest or whatever, or the East, or wherever you consider Indiana to be, you know. But, you know, I like to make fun of myself.
That's the greatest part about you, is you're taking such an intensely vile subject and still managing to get some humor out of it. I mean, it always blows me away when I talk to you. But don't forget, address the arrests.
Okay, that's what I was trying to get at, because ascension is the key. What they did was, there's something that I don't, either I don't see or I don't know how to recognize in people's DNA, because I always give people their sacred light. Okay, sacred light is just a simple percentage of where we are. And I've seen people's sacred light go up and down in a matter of just moments.
Why?
And well, because of our behavior. Our behavior is what influences our sacred light. Because people always say, well, I want to have really high sacred light. Well, then you need to go out and start helping people. And you need to do it with a pure heart. Because if you go out and help people and say, well, I'm going to go down and work at the homeless shelter because I'm going to raise my sacred light to 50, you know, whatever, 65%. You know, it's not going to work like that. Because that's a self-motivated intent. You know, I'm going to help you so that I get reward. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about I'm going to help you because, you know, you are in a situation and I want to do what I can to make your life better. Sure. And I want to do that. And I don't even care if anybody says thank you. I'm going to do that because I want to help. And because when you help people anonymously, that's the best way.
Because it's the right thing to do. What's the highest sacred light that you've seen so far?
Well, all the galactics have 100%. Everybody in heaven has 100%.
How about you?
I don't believe that here on Earth at this time, it's higher to have 92%.
That's what you've told
me. For some reason, I think it's because the energies or whatever, I don't think it's possible for someone to have higher than 92%.
Okay.
And it's actually fairly rare that people do have that high of a level. There are people who work really, really hard, or they are connected to a mass amount of people, like a singer, Sade. Is that how you say her name? It's spelled S-A-D-E. She's a singer.
Yeah.
And when she sings, she channels energy from heaven and broadcasts it out to the people she's singing to.
Yeah.
And her sacred light is Sylvia Brown had 92%. The man that you've done interviews with, Kevin, is it Annette or Annette?
Kevin Annette. Yeah.
Kevin Annette, he has 92% sacred light. David Icke has 92%. You know, like, look at David Icke. David Icke works his ass off every day. Why? Number one, because he wants to stop child trafficking. And number two, he wants to help people. And he lives a very simple, modest life in a little apartment. You know, a lot of people, you know, well, there's a dark entity. Her name is Joyce Meyer. And she's on TV pretending to be this big religious, spiritual person. Her sacred light is 37%.
Really?
You know, because she feels, oh, she's a dark entity. And then actually another, I think it's TV evangelist, just got arrested. I can't remember his last name, Joel Epstein, or I was going to look up his name and I forgot. But anyway, back to mass arrests. And the one thing that we were told that's a lie is that the Galactics were going to come down and arrest everybody in 3 hours and then go home and that's it. Well, it didn't turn out that way. And the Galactics said they were sorry that message got out because it's not the truth. And back to vibration. Okay, the people being arrested are being arrested in order of vibration. And this is something I can't yet put a number on. Or see, the way I research who, because after the 819 were arrested, I wanted to know, okay, who's next? You know, I want to know when's Obama going? Because I really hate him. I don't carry that hate. I'm so disgusted by his behavior. He's murdered 283 children while raping them. But still, that wasn't even the worst. The worst ones were in the 819. Like Benjamin Netanyahu is way over 350 children, almost 400 children. Okay. While he's parading around, he's been arrested. He's not coming back.
And Cheney.
And, but they all had 0% sacred light, because once you either rape somebody or murder somebody or both, your sacred light drops to zero. And then other people who denounce God and denounce all forms of divinity, God will remove their sacred light out of an act of respect. Because there was a woman online a couple of years ago, and she was, I think her big thing was, why I stopped being a light worker. And she started running around telling everybody that the Lords of Karma were all parasites. And, you know, they were out to, like, get us, and you don't, whatever you do, don't get involved with them. And it made an impression on a lot of people, because then later on, I'm like, I love the Lords of Karma. You know, I come out, and I'm like, I love the Lords of Karma. They mean so much to me. And I was like, well, you know, Jesus Christ is the Lord of Karma. And there's a whole bunch of them, and all Lords of Karma are ascended masters, but not all ascended masters are Lords of Karma. That's just
the way it is. Tori, explain to everybody what a Lord of Karma is.
Well, you know what? I don't know everything that they do. But what I do know is the Lords of Karma, the biggest thing that they do in my understanding is that when a soul, when a person dies, the soul is what they guide. And Father God and Mother God always will give us chance after chance after chance to better ourselves. And a lot of dark entities call that being trapped in hell. But what that really means is, well, let's take Nancy Reagan. Nancy Reagan recently died. She was an extremely evil person. Okay, when she died, the divine director and the lords of karma, see, what they do is they go around, it's almost like shopping. They go around and they look for a woman, and they choose a woman who's a dark entity. So it's not that big, you know, they're not going to pick a pregnant woman that has like 85% sacred light and put somebody like Nancy Reagan in, because people who have light have all charted for that. So the dark entities don't have charts. So Nancy Reagan was put in a pregnant woman in one of the poorest regions of India. And so, because, well, one of her favorite, most famous quotes was, and I'll translate, HIV is killing all the right people. Translation, we are killing all the right people. Because when HIV was developed, Ronald Reagan had a big part of that. I know the two men who created it, I know the two males who created HIV. It was created at the Arlington, Virginia My Lab a long time ago. And they, one of the first things when I was exposed to this horrible group of people, they wanted to develop a new HIV, and they kept injecting it into me. And they had 77 mutations of HIV, and they injected that into me 185 times. Okay, if I can back up a little bit, I've had years and years of training as a healer, mostly working with sacred lights and sacred energies. Okay, huge amount of study and healing, which was not like the way corporate America heals. It was the way spiritual, the way God, you know, God's healing and the angels healing and all of that, which anybody wants to learn about, there's a huge resource of information. Okay, and then they tested me after every time. They could inject in me, they would come back a few days later or a week later, and I would be negative. And recently, well, it's been a year now, I went to a hospital in Fort Wayne, Indiana called Lutheran Hospital. And the doctor came up to me and she's like, you know, we tested you for HIV and your viral load is 100,000. And I knew she was lying. I just knew she was lying. Why? Well, I had just been tested 185 times and they all came out negative. And she's like, well, I really think you should go on. You know, we've got wonderful meds that you can take. I'm like, I just let her talk and I'm like, thank you for your opinion. I didn't say a word. And I'm like, honey, I took those drugs for 16 years. They cost over $2,000 a month. The reason people are taking them is because they don't know how to remove HIV from your body, which can be removed in as little as 30 seconds. If you're a perfectly healthy person and you have a high sacred light above, I don't even know what it is, I didn't check, but your sacred light's above 51%, HIV can be removed from your body in as little as 30 seconds. And besides, no one ever has a perfectly even HIV viral load. It's never like 150,000. It's always, it can be something like 107,916. You see what I mean? It's always like a bizarre number. It's never an even number with lots of zeros. And they would get so angry at me. Why are you negative? Why are you negative? Well, because I know how to heal it. That's why it's negative. Now, I'm sorry, we were talking about the arrest. But arrest began in May of 20. I know we need like a 6-hour interview, right, to talk about this stuff. Now I really want to talk about Hollywood because there's a lot going on out there, but we can leave that till the end. The vibrations, see, what happened was the whole solar system was going to be cleared as a part of a process of the entire galaxy being cleared. The entire galaxy is moving into the light. And there were 66 worlds in our solar system, not galaxy, solar system, that had sentient colonies of life. And it started with the sun. And for some reason, nobody lives in Mercury. But there was another planet in between Mercury and the sun called Vulcan. Yeah. But it was destroyed, I think, pretty sure, by one of the passes of Nibiru. And Venus is next with about 4 billion people. The Earth, of course, you know, the biggest majority of people in the Earth live inside in Agartha. The second biggest is the surface. And then Mars. And Mars is mostly military now. Mars was a wonderful, green, lush planet. But it also was stripped by one of the passes of Nibiru. It lost all of its water. It lost most of its atmosphere. But people were still living there, and they were mostly military. NASA had this program. I forget what they call it. Well, that guy you interviewed, Randy Kramer, he was involved. And this other guy that I don't like, who's running for president, Andrew DiBiagio, he also has a lot of history of traveling back and forth between here and Mars. And, you know, I don't need to go through, but 66 planets. Saturn was probably the heaviest populated planet. And most of, but all of those were non-physical beings, and those were the Archons. And that was their home world in the solar system, and that's where they were controlling Earth from. And I believe Jupiter only has one being, like Mother Gaia is an inhabiting spirit for the world. Because everybody who lives in Jupiter lives on the moons. There's Io, Ganymede, Callista. There's a whole bunch of moons, and that's where most of the inhabited worlds are in the moons of Saturn and Jupiter. Huh. Okay, and then if you go further out, you know, another one, Uranus, you know, and scientists are like, wow, this planet's laying on its side. It's really weird. What happened? Once again, it was one of the passes of Nibiru. And because Nibiru was a cluster and there was a dwarf star that was with it, and it was really the dwarf brown star that did the damage. It screwed up the magnetics of the planets, changed the patterns and stuff like that. So a lot of these moons that were around Uranus were knocked out. Pluto is actually a moon of Uranus, and that's why it's, you know, small. There's a little cluster of moons there, you know, with around Pluto, but they were all knocked out by Nibiru when it threw the moons out.
Tori, okay. Did you hear about the explosion in the orbit of Nibiru? Did you hear about that?
Was it just recently?
Yes.
No, I didn't.
And it,
I've spoken to those people many times.
It's fascinating because this just happened recently, and the take on it is that they were slowing down the arrival of Nibiru into our solar system.
I'd have to research that.
So I don't know. Check it out, because I'd like to hear your take on that.
I'm getting a big no, because Nibiru is under contract. The people of Nibiru, last time there was like 46,000, I think it was 46,418 people living in Nibiru. And for some reason, they weren't having children, because I kept contacting them and talking with them. And because I'm actually fascinated by the Anunnaki, they're former Anunnaki, most of the Anunnaki, and they're also under contract because of their immunity deal. And in the mid 90s, everybody on this planet was given an immunity deal. In fact, everybody in the solar system was given an immunity deal. They're like, okay, we're not going to prosecute you for the people that you've murdered, the war crimes that you've committed. All of that will be forgiven, but there are steps that you have to take. You have to choose to move into the light. You have to leave this criminal behavior behind. The Anunnaki said, okay, you're not going to prosecute us for all these things we've done on this planet to these Earthians? We'll take the deal. Most of them moved back to Beta Cancari. They're living on the fourth planet of Beta Cancari. A lot of them decided they were going to live inside the planet Nibiru, because most people live inside the planets. And that whole thing of, you know, having surface water, being close to a star, does have merit, because when you move out, you know, water freezes. Okay, but planets have their own ecosystems. The plants, they have an inner star which generates light and heat, which grows the plants with that breathable atmosphere for people. There's water inside the planets, all of that. And so even a constructed planet like Nibiru, which I'm pretty sure is made in the Orion belt. I think it was either Anilam or Anuttak. I always get those two stars mixed up. But it was built there, and then it was brought here, but it could travel really pretty quick. It used to be in a funky orbit, like 3,600 years or something, it would go around. But every time I've spoken to them, because one thing I was, why didn't the population change? I'm like, why don't they have children? And they said, no, we're not having children right now. You know, we might do that in a few years, but we're basically just living here as we are without making a lot of changes. You know, we chose to move into the light. And so therefore, you know, their purpose was to basically maintain, you know, and live their lives. They're living their lives like everybody else. They're just not expanding. They're not growing. And they're basically not doing anything outside their world. And that's what I've talked to them several times over and over again. Because see, that's what happens. I wanted to go back to how I get information. I have a multitude of sources that I get information from. It's not just one source. Usually, I go to people's DNA first. I pull up people's DNA. I start reading information. But what's happened is, since my DNA is now activated to over a million strands, a lot of my telepathic gifts have come back. And humans can have a conversation with anybody in the universe when we're fully conscious. It's just absolutely amazing. You can do a lot of things like astral travel. You can go to heaven and research. There's 18 halls and temples. Most of them are like libraries where you can go and get information from, which I do. I also get information you know, since I turned over my life to Mother and Father God and the angels, a lot of my information comes from God and the angels, and my spirit guides. You know, the other day, my mom had to take her lawn tractor. I had to take mom's lawn tractor in to get it serviced. And I couldn't find the ramp boards to get it onto the trailer. And I was really upset. And I was fighting all these temporals all day. And God's sending these energies through me to destroy the temporals, which pisses them off. And then they send in more people. So I have to stop and do this and stop and do that. Stop and do that. And I'm like, where's the ramps? I couldn't find them. But what I said was, I went to my spirit guides and I said, okay, I'm having trouble here. Will you go to the holler charts and will you look at my record and see where I put the boards the last time I took them off, because I need those ramps to get the tractor. Mom needs this done. And then they came back the next day and they're like, yeah, you put them in the bottom of the barn. And I'm like, okay, well, the bottom of the barn is dark and I couldn't see them. And they're the same color as the old wood beams. So the barn. So, you know, that's what is so important about speaking to your spirit guides, because they are here to help us. They don't provide information to me about child trafficking. I mean, I go into my thing, I sit down, heaven puts this force field of energy around me so no one can interfere with that process, and the information flows, and I get information from heaven and from the DNA simultaneously, and I check back and forth. It's a process. So I don't say, okay, well, Obama raped a child today, so I'm going to put that down. It doesn't work like that. You know, it's, you have to verify over and over again, because I don't want, in Indiana, it's a felony to falsely accuse someone of a crime. Okay, I have been accusing men of raping and murdering children for over 2 years now, and they refuse to prosecute me, which is one of the funniest things that happened recently, was because the Indiana Attorney General went to Washington, D.C., and he talked to the CIA. And this guy, CIA agent, goes, well, Tori's some kind of special alien that can't be killed. I'm special.
Oh, my God, he seriously said that?
I got a big kick out of that. And because it's not true, it's just I'm not charted to die right now, and I'm certainly not charted to be killed by, you know, dark entities who rape and murder children. And so, okay, back to mass arrest.
You deserve a break, Tori.
We're coming up. And see, that's another thing, because I met this woman in heaven who used to be considered a goddess. I'm sorry. Her name was Pomona. And she was in the era of Zeus and Achilles, who all have become my friends. I just love these guys. But it's funny, the gods, they always laugh at me because they're like, I wish that all the goddesses loved me as much as they do you, because they all talk about you. And I'm like laughing. I'm like, well, you know why, right? Because I care so much about children, you know, and what I've been through. And they're like, yeah, you know, it's just funny. But the mass arrest had to go in order, starting from the lowest vibration and going up. And the first ones that were arrested were this group of 1,738 Dracos. And there were some of them that were really, really old. And they were so dark and they were so low in vibration, it was like looking literally into a black hole. It's almost like they would suck light into them and it would just disappear. And there was a group of five and they went out. It was Maldek, Marduk, you know, and I'm so bad with names, I can't remember. But I remember there were five of them and they went out in May of 2012.
Wasn't that when Satan and Lucifer were taken also?
No, see, they were the last two.
Oh, okay.
As far as I know, they were two of the youngest. And I think it was Lucifer that had killed like 42 million humans total in his existence or whatever. But even that was considered, because Satan and Lucifer were the last ones arrested, and that was September 2013. And it was...
Tori, what happens to them?
They're gone. They don't exist anymore.
So they just don't exist. I mean, isn't their energy, whatever signature, reabsorbed?
You mean them specifically, or what they've done?
No, with them.
Okay. Well, what happened was, and there were 15 of us on the planet who were doing this, 15 of us making the arrests. I arrested 457 out of 1,738. And you know what? And people are like, oh, you're a hero. No, I'm not a hero. Number one, because I didn't want to do it. Number two, I hated the whole process, you know, because I got my ass kicked every single day. I mean, they even put snakes in my body. Who the hell wants to go through that? Not me.
That.
You know, I'm not, you know. So I just want to make clear, it was really hard work, which I really wish I didn't have to do. You know what I mean? I wish none of this had to happen. But I do it anyway, because I feel that if I don't, what am I going to do, sit around? Well, number one, I'll just keep kicking my ass. You know, it's more of a self-defense thing. You know, superheroes go out and they say, oh, I'm going to conquer good or conquer evil and make good here. I don't do that. You know, I act in self-defense.
Yeah, but still, come on. I mean, all you'd have to do is say, you know what, I'm done. I'm done doing this, and it would stop. But you realize the end game is what you've always wanted, which is to accomplish bringing the My Labs, the child sacrifice, the satanic ritual, bringing it to a close, which I'd like you to go back a second and talk a little bit about when these men in black and aliens, when they arrive in your home, which we've already determined, you're on a portal. You're on a portal that is an open doorway for the dark beings to enter this planet. So what I want people to understand is that you explained this to me, and I felt that they needed to hear this. One day I called Tori up, and I was just so frustrated. I was almost crying because I felt his pain. He was, like, really under attack, and, you know, he was so upset, and he was in a lot of pain and everything else. And, I couldn't be there physically. And I said, Tori, I don't understand it. You know, why aren't you asking all of the light workers and all the healers and all those that want to protect you? Why aren't you letting us come in and protect you on the inner plane? We could be in there in a massive force. And you said to me, well, it's kind of like the moth to the flame. Do you remember this conversation? And I went, what are you talking about? And you said, well, basically I draw them in. And you can completely transform them. And you're like,
it's God that does it. I'm kind of just,
well, you're the vehicle. I get the vessel, but you know, you basically said, no, I don't want protection that's going to prevent them from coming here. That's my goal. Remember that?
No, I don't. But what I remember is not asking for help was because you can't go from zero to jumping into the, let's say, boxing ring without training. And the reason I didn't want people to be, I waited, and the first thing was, the first time that became okay to ask for help, I did. And I put out a video, and that's the first time it was okay to ask for help. Because you can't just take on these beings because they'll just come in and they'll kill you.
Yeah.
And I know this because they killed me 57 times. And I know that's hard for people to understand. But you see what I mean? I'm not going to say, oh, well, I'm having a tough day. Here, you come in and kill me. Or you come in and help me. They're going to kill you when you help me. But you will get to help me for, you know, 15 seconds. And then they're going to kill you. I would refuse to do that.
Okay. I'm glad you clarified that. And the other thing I wanted to ask was, there are units, there are groups of people out there that are going after this sort of stuff. And what do you say to all of those out there that haven't had the training? They're just kind of going balls to the walls.
Well, I would do what I did. And then you can convert it to your own thing. I would give my life over to God. I would give my life over to the angels. I know a lot of people keep trying to tarnish the angels and say, oh, there's fallen angels and this and that. No. There's no such thing as a dark angel or a, you know what, all angels are much, much higher vibration than we are. They're even higher vibration than the basic level of heaven. They're their own species. They never mate, period. Angels don't mate with each other. That whole story of, oh, an angel came out of the sky and had sex with my wife. That wasn't an angel. You know what, he might have had wings, but that wasn't an angel that came out of the sky. And that whole thing of fallen angels is just a word made up because there's literally no such thing as no angel has ever turned away from God. But what I always recommend to people is to ask God for help. And now I really think that it's never too late to join. It's never too late to help. But almost everybody has been cleared. The only, and I mean in our solar system, and I also mean in our galaxy. And then we just went through another process where we were bringing them here. When I say we, I mean the Earth as the totality, because I call them invading alien reptilians. But the truth is, that's not technically accurate, because the truth is they were invited here by the military, by DARPA and the CIA, and because the CIA controls all militaries of this planet. The CIA has their international headquarters. It's at the bottom of Lake Geneva, near the France-Switzerland border. They've got that big Hadron Collider. They have their own MyLab there. It's a huge, huge military complex. And that is where every military of Earth, except for Agartha, is controlled from. But that is almost over. You know what I mean? And there's like people come out, well, I'm an Archon hunter. And, you know, I like to go out and kick Archons at. Archons are gone. They've been gone. The Insectians are gone. Insectians can't come here to Earth anymore because the vibration is too high. Their vibration is too low. And they were the ones that most people, the most common depiction of an alien is the little gray dudes with the black eyes. Over 4 million Americans have been abducted by them, taken up to a ship or to a MyLab. They tinker with the sexual reproductive organs and glands because they weren't trying. They've been trying for decades, millennia, to create new bodies. And they were trying to create insectian human hybrids, which they did. But I don't really think, because these vibrational beings, I don't really know how it's worked out for them. But I don't really think it's worked. Because every once in a while, I find somebody who's like a four species person. And, you know, that's kind of like sets off alarms. You know, because it's not normal for somebody to be four or five species in one. But that's the way the Anunnaki were. But they created themselves in a laboratory. And then once again, you go back and you read these books. Oh, the Anunnaki came and they created humans on Earth. No, what they did was they invaded this planet, started abducting people, tampered with their DNA, altered the DNA, and started making dual or triple species people. And then we look at Earth today. If you look at the surface of the Earth and the shell of the Earth, you'll find 58% of the people here are human. 58%, which is actually higher than I thought it would be. I was like, oh, thank God it's that high.
That is really high.
But there are a lot of people who are reptilian humans. They got their DNA, and it was bred into them by the Anunnaki and the Insectians, and over time they multiplied. And if you look at them, where are they? They're the military. They're the government. They're the police. They're all the reptilian humans have been in a control positions. And you know, we have a question?
Yeah, I was going to ask you. You know, they say that a lot of the abductions and the hybrid programs, et cetera, you know, where they're actually taking sperm and ovum samples, et cetera, for the hybrid program, they're saying that those are pretty much coming to an end for most of the benevolent extraterrestrials, and that it's really down now to pretty much all military operations. Do you agree with that?
Well, what I've seen and what I've witnessed is that they had a very specific goal. There were a lot of scientific programs, and they are continuing somewhat. Montauk is probably the number one MyLab in America right now that's still continuing those species, experiments, let's call them. And, but the problem MyLab is having is there was a huge number of DARPA, I can't remember offhand, I think it was like 172 or 117, but all the bigwigs of DARPA have all been arrested. And then I also made a list of arrests, and it was, it was in this book.
This is good news, folks. This is what we've been waiting for. But Tori, you still never answered the question, how do the arrests go down on the inner plane?
Okay. Well, everybody has to be transfigured and their energy transmuted before they can be taken up. And that includes the Bushes, the Clintons, everybody. And in the invading aliens, they all had to be transfigured and transmuted, which is an energetical process. Now, most of the time when they would come into my home, their physical bodies would either be out at Dulce or out at Roswell, because there's another Hadron Collider there, and they were creating this portal and bringing them in, because they don't have the same technology that the light has, and it takes them a lot longer to travel from galaxy to galaxy. So they had this technology where they would create wormholes, and they were calling out, and it was 8,056 of them that had been arrested. And the process for me is like they would come in, and you know, I could feel them coming. I've been doing this for so long, it's like, oh great, here we go again. And they would come in, and I would say, thank you for the sacred fire, bam. And they would be instantly, it's almost like a butane torch, and now the sacred fire is there. And then I would say, thank you for the cord of light. And I used to say, I invoke the cord of light, but you can either say, I invoke the white light of the Holy Spirit, or you can say, thank you for the white light of the Holy Spirit, or whatever. There's two ways to go about it, but then The next step would be this process where I would capture this energy that God would be sending, and then I would start throwing it in balls that would come out of my heart chakra down through my head, heart, and hands, and I would throw these energy balls at the aliens. And then that would be a variable number. It depended on the person. Okay, so you're standing there throwing the energy balls, and sometimes it gets really fast, so your hands are going like this. And then it would stop. My hands would push away. That means done or no. We don't need to do that anymore. Okay, then I would say, thank you for the star. And what we would do is we would create a star that would encompass their entire being while they were still on fire with the sacred light. And the star would be the gold ray of Christ, the Christ consciousness energy, and the crystalline Christ consciousness energy. All three of those comprise the star, and bam. Oh, they hate that energy. Christ consciousness energy, all these dark entities. Oh my God, they hate that energy. Okay, so now we're at that step. And then what we would do is we transmute. And I say, oh God, thank you for transmuting them. My hands would go like this. And then we'd start going. And my hands would form a double vortex, a clockwise tornado and a counterclockwise tornado, which would meet at a point in the person. But sometimes, if there were a group of six of them, we could do all six at the same time. So the vortexes would be moving back and forth between each one of them. And the energy was almost like running a vacuum cleaner. It would pull the energy out of them, up through me, and out into the light. And some of them, the really bad ones, I had an agreement with heaven that the energy would bypass me. It wouldn't go through me. It would go up front. Because some of these were like, well, when I was young and naive, like when Satan came in, I'm like, okay, here we go. La, 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 done. And it was like, no, we're not done. It took over and over because it was different with the Dracos than it was with the reptilians.
I bet.
Okay. And well, I totally
in what way? In what way?
Well, they had so much more energies that needed to be worked on, and it couldn't all happen in one shot. It had to happen over and over and over again. So it was like they were a barometer with 100%. You know, somebody like Anu would come in, and we'd work on him, and he'd go down to 90%. And then next time he'd visit, down to 80%. And then next time down to 70%. So it's just over and over. And I laugh because I tell my friends, I feel like I'm living in a subway station in Times Square because there have been millions of people and I don't have any control of when they show up. And it's just like, and then especially while I sleep, they come in and they use weapons on me and then they leave. But they do that to a lot of people, thousands and thousands of people, you know, that they
well,
do that to.
And I want to make it really clear to people, you know, Tori goes to sleep and then he finds himself in other rooms. He finds himself bare ass naked. Well, I know you go, yeah. I know you go, you know, you go to bed without any clothes on a lot of times, but you've told me when you're fully dressed, you wake up and you're naked and you're another part of the house and you're sore and you're bruised. I mean, this is real, that there's clearly something being done to him on the physical, even though it's done in the etheric. So this is where it's really difficult for people to wrap their brain around it.
I would like to address that, but to finish the other one, there were a couple more steps, and once that energetical process was complete, Father God would, well, with the back with the Dracos, Father God, it was just like, would come down with his hand and take them. And then he would put them in the uncreated mass, which is in his temple. And if you go in to visit Father God, he has an altar. It's the simplest temple in heaven. His Father God doesn't need the bells and whistles. It's very simple. You go up and you call to Father God, and he will come in a form that you feel comfortable looking at God in. But he can't hold that form very long. He's way too big to be in a human body. He can't do it very long. And so you have your little one-on-one time. I like to go to get a hug from Father God or Mother God. She has her own temple. It's a little more, you know, fabulous, I would say, you know, because the plants and the pillars and the architecture and the statues. But Father God's temple is real simple. Okay, behind the altar, there's this big curtain that goes from the ceiling all the way to the floor. And you can go back and you can pull back the curtain. And what you will see is it's just like in the children's show, like in that one, I forget what it was called, Narnia, where they open the cabinet and there's a whole universe inside the cabinet. That's exactly what the uncreated mass is. And when you push back the curtain, you look in and there is an entire universe in there. But yet if you walk around the back, it's a solid, you know what I mean? Like if you walk outside the temple, it's just like, hey, wait a minute. That's only like whatever, a foot thick or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It's solid. But when you're looking in this way, it's a vast universe.
Right.
And every once in a while, and it's basically a sea of unconditional love. And if I understand correctly, this is the energy that Father God, when he creates a soul, will reach in there and do his stuff and pull out and create a soul. And I really believe that's where the souls are created from, because I always tell people your DNA is 6.001 million years old, but I believe your soul is eternal. But what does that mean? How far back does that go? I mean, they say our universe is 27 trillion years old, so we can't be older than the universe, or can we? Yeah. Sylvie Brown used to say that Father God held us in eggs until the universe was created. These, like, spherical things that we – but I can't get into that. Okay, now, back to the rapes. And because, see, when the Illuminati, they basically wanted to exploit me for my gifts. They came in, and they kept kicking my ass, and they were doing all this stuff to me. And then they like to choke children to death while they're raping them. That's their favorite way to kill children. And they like the point of death to be at the same time that they ejaculate, because they get high off of that. Okay, so guess what? They decide, well, we're going to do the same thing to him. So like you said, I'd be washing dishes. It'd be like maybe 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And the next thing I'd wake up and it'd be like 5:30 or 6. I'd be naked in my bed, you know, butt in the air. It was obvious that I had been raped. I mean, anybody knows that when you are sodomized, or anal sodomy, when you're, especially when it happens to you over and over and over again, there is physical damage. You know, there's no question of it. And so that's when...
And Tori, not to interrupt, sorry, but I got to add to this. You know, I'm working on Tori with some of our systems. And I can vouch for the physical damage and the things that have happened.
Yeah, I just, what was your quote? Did you say, oh, it looks like you're having some rectal pain? Yeah, some.
I mean, there was a lot
of stuff. Funny. Yeah.
A lot of stuff. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, that is amazing. I don't know. Are you offering the healing services yet to people publicly, or?
We haven't gotten the page up, and I'm just trying to get caught up in my life, because.
Because I would love to testify about what, because I'll tell you, oh yeah, and she said this, and she said that, and I was writing everything down, and even knew about my nosebleed. I totally forgot about my nosebleed, because they usually attack me in the shower, and they spray this poison into me, and my stomach has a big, huge red mark, and it goes all the way around my legs, because they continually pump poison. Every biological and chemical weapon known, every virus, they always pump it into me, and this is why I say, oh, guess what, all this shit's happening to me. Why don't you come in and help me? Why don't you come in and work with me? See, that's why I don't ask for people's help very often. Okay, so let's back up to my personal history.
Yeah.
So they're trying to exploit me for my gifts, and then they can't do anything with me. So, okay, we're going to kill him now. DARPA's done with him. DARPA hates this guy. They can't give him HIV. All of these experiments we're working on are failing. Just kill him. And so what they did was they started choking me to death like they did the children. And then it would leave. Well, what would happen is Mother God would come and say, heaven's not ready for you yet. And she would very gently and very lovingly put me back in my body. And it was just like in the movies. And it was just like, and I would take a breath and I would be back. Wow. And my heart would start beating again. And okay, that happened to me. Wow. Well, I never did. 57 times I was killed. And it all happened the same way. Except, well, they either choked me to death or they used a stun gun on the back of my neck. Like this one guy, thank God he was arrested, John Brennan, who was the American CIA division director. And all you have to do is Google images of this man, and you're like, ugh! You know, everybody kind of, it's like children, they scream and they see something horrible. That's what people happen when they look at John Brennan, because he's a monster. He's assassinated so many people, and including a lot of Hollywood celebrities. Anybody who left the Illuminati, he killed them. And also Keith Alexander of the NSA, he was a being that was like, because they weren't even remotely human. Okay, so they killed me 57 times. Well, what had happened was before that process, because Bush Senior was the first one to rape me, and then Bush Junior, and then Dick Cheney, and then and then that group, and they weren't getting anywhere with me. So they thought, all right, we're going to bring in the Hollywood crowd. We're going to bring in Hollywood celebrities. And they would come in their temporal bodies, and which is every level except for physical. So when a man goes into his temporal body, his physical body is in a location with this gear, like a video game or whatever.
Like virtual game kind of thing, right?
Yeah, virtual reality, that's what it's called. Okay, but he's coming in his astral, etheric, mental, and causal bodies. Okay, so he's coming in 4 dimensions at the same time. So the person getting raped is experiencing this in all five of those dimensions, because you're literally pinned down. And one night, this is back when they were putting snakes in my body too, because the snakes were also on four dimensions at once. And the snakes would come in and they would shove them up my butt right after somebody would pull. Like, remember that guy that ran for president, Paul Ryan, Vice President Paul Ryan? Well, he was one that used to rape me over and over again. And I remember once, as soon as they pull out their penis, there'd be an insectia in there and they'd shove a snake up my butt. And the snake would go up and I'd feel it going around, and it was just like, not again, not again. We've been through this over and over again. And then they went through like 42 or 44 snakes that were about 18 inches long. One time they put seven in me at one time. And I'm telling you, this is the time when I was literally on the edge of insanity, because so much shit was going on. Okay, so one night it happened again, and there were a bunch of, I think it was a bunch of men from a sheriff's department in California. And I kept calling him because, you know, I lived in Miami, and there was a word, Mariposa, that men, Cubans, used to call really young, effeminate, you know, homosexual men. Mariposa is some kind of a bird. It's like, oh, you know, men that talk like this. Oh, honey. You know what I mean? It's like really effeminate men. That's what Cubans would call a Mariposa. Well, I kept calling because there were sheriffs, deputy sheriffs, and I think it was like Santa Clara County or something. I'm not sure. But I kept calling them Mariposa County, and they hated that. So this one night they came in, I got raped, they put a snake in my body, and then, you know, and then there was the process to get the snake out, and when eventually we'd send the snake into the light, once it would, they would fall out of my body, splat on the floor. And then we'd send the snake into the light.
I remember that.
And then this bunch of men from the Sheriff's Department in California, they came in, and I think I got raped by like 26 dudes, 26 police officers. And then in comes Tom Cruise and David Beckham. Well, they had done this energy work on me, and they literally did, over the years, shrink my penis. I think it's about maybe 3/4 the size that it used to be. But at that night, it was literally gone. They had done this energy work on me, and my testicles and penis had completely pulled inside of my body.
Whoa.
It was like they're out of the way, because the Insectians were masters at this. It blew my mind that Insectians know more about our DNA than we know, well, at least in this reality. They were light years ahead of us in technology, and they could just come in. The next thing you know, you're a normal person, you're like out. You're just like that. They had these gnarly mind powers. It was amazing. And I thought, they're freaking insects.
So, Tori, you're not at all aware of this on the physical plane until you wake up, right?
No. Sometimes yes, but there was a point where the blackouts, because they didn't want, I don't think they wanted me to be in a blackout while they were raping me.
They wanted you to be miserable.
Yes. It was literally, well, though this one time I had both. I would say, I don't know, break it down in percentages. I would say at least 70% to 75% of the time I was fully conscious. And they would paralyze me and they would manipulate my body. I had no control over it because DARPA developed this weapon where they can paralyze people. And before this troops enter your home, because that way you can't reach for a gun or whatever. Okay, so in comes Tom Cruise and in comes David Beckham. And all these come like, oh, I can't believe you're here. I can't believe you're here. But the mentality of these actors, because none of them are really human. And there were 218 arrested from Hollywood. I'd like to go through the list if we have time to see. But before I do that, but they, because of the way society treats these people, when they come into your home and rape you, in their minds, they're doing you a favor. They're giving you a gift. Oh, you got to be sodomized by me. And I'm like, yeah, it would have been so much better if you had just like never come at all. And when I, right after both of those two dudes raped me, I was able to move, because there was a process, and it would maybe be like anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes. And once that process passed, you'd regain the ability to work on your body. And I woke up and I didn't have my penis. Well, any man on the planet Earth, if you wake up and your penis is gone, that's a moment.
You're gonna freak out.
And so I was freaked out. And then they want to talk to me and they're like, well, you know who I am. Tom Cruise kept saying, well, you know who I am? And I'm like, no, I don't know who you are. He was like, I'm Tom Cruise. And I'm like, I don't know who you are. And I'm like running up to the kitchen to get my, you know, my herbs and stuff like that to try to cleanse myself out. And then my penis started coming back out again with my testicles. So I'm starting to calm down a little bit. But they kept saying that to me over and over again.
I have a question. Are they just going into some sort of meditative state to do this?
No, I really think the temporal system, because there's a video on YouTube about this guy that goes to the door and he gets a package. And he goes and he sits down on his bed and he puts these goggles on his head. And he immediately is transported out and he can kind of fly around and go to all these parties and stuff like that, locations. Okay. Because that's what happens to them. See, I didn't know what was happening at first because I was asking people about it and they're like, no, you're crazy. None of that exists. Well, it turned out that I was pretty accurate. I just had the wrong name for the machine. But I do know that when they're raping you, they get the full sensation of having sex.
Wow.
Literally, like it's you're physically there and they're physically there. And what I know for sure is every time that they would ejaculate inside me, I could feel that. I could feel the liquid going into my body. And there was like a huge energetical burst with that. And in the beginning, it was really horrible. And then later on, because they actually have, mostly they do this to women, but they also have this technology to activate the hormones and glands of the person to put them in an extremely high sexually aroused state. And then they can get more out of that. And that's what they were doing to me lately, because I went through a period where I didn't get raped for like, I think it was like a year and a half. And then all of a sudden it started up again just recently.
So, Tori, okay, explain this to me. If this is happening and one of the goals that you have is to dissipate these folks and send these beings to the light, are you able to do that while you're being raped? I mean, if you're aware of it 70% of the time, is that what you're trying to do? Or are you in such distress and such misery and pain that you can't even go there? I mean, I think that's a question I've had for you.
There's a breakdown, to put it in the simplest terms, non-physical beings and physical beings.
Okay.
You can't just, you can do energy work on somebody that has a physical body, but that those people, well, actually some of the non-physicals too were arrested by the Galactics. That's one thing I didn't mention before, because Father God took the Dracos, like Anu and Maldek and all of them, he would just reach down and grab them because they were energetical at this point. They were too far gone to be in a physical body. They just couldn't do it. But you can't just do that to somebody with a physical body because they would die and that would be killing them. And yeah, while you're getting raped, there's no energy work or whatever. You're not doing, you're just on the victim side of it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when the Hollywood actors came in, there's really nothing I could do. And then because of Cruz, he started bringing in other ones and other ones. And
unbelievable.
It was, but something actually good came out of that for me was because I started meeting the women of Hollywood. And, you know, because Tom Cruise asked me to marry him 20 times. And I'm like, okay, first of all, you're already married. Second of all, you know, hello, if I'm going to get married to somebody, all the elders in my family met somebody, they went through courtship and dating, they fell in love, it was a process, and then they got married. I'm not some kind of person that could just meet somebody and go through a drive-through wedding in Las Vegas. That's not me. You know what I mean? I was like, if you are serious about this marriage thing, of course, it was all a trap, because if you said, yes, I'll marry you, that means they would take possession of your soul. You know, it's all, the Illuminati have their rules. If you ever say yes to them, and that used to piss off the celebrities because I never said yes to them. And they brought in Chris Hemsworth and Chris Evans and a whole bunch of other celebrities. But the good thing I was going to say that came out of that is I met most of their wives. And, you know, and like Brad Pitt's wife at the time, you know, was Jennifer Aniston.
Sure.
And
sure.
Which, you know, and a lot of funny, you know, I was, you like to use comedy to get through, because that, you know, he had, No, I'm sorry. That's when he had just left her and went for Angelina Jolie. And, but anyway, I ended up meeting Jennifer Aniston, and, we actually talked a lot because Jennifer had a lot of questions. And, but Nicole Kidman, she kept telling me, don't say yes, whatever you do, don't say yes. And over time, you know, we also spent a lot of time together, and, you know, we talked a lot, in other words. And one thing that really brought us closer is, and I know this sounds strange to people, but Nicole was another one that was targeted from birth. She was targeted while she was in the womb. She was sexually abused as a child. She was introduced to the Illuminati as a simple matter of fact, this is the way life is. And a lot of children are brought in that way. They're born into it. But a lot of them wake up. She was one of them that woke up. When she saw what was going on, she's like, I don't want to be a part of this. You can just kiss my ass, I'm leaving. Of course, she can't say that in public, But she quit the Illuminati. A lot of people have quit the Illuminati, mostly women.
Well, isn't but that one of the main reasons that she split up from Cruz, right?
Yeah. Well, that's actually another thing. No. Okay. She really wanted a heterosexual husband. And I'm sorry, I got a runny nose. And it's funny because one time we were on a conference call. It was me and Victoria Beckham, Jennifer Aniston, Penelope Cruz, Katie Holmes. It was all the girls. I call them my girls, my Hollywood girls. Okay, and we're talking because that was right after this specific group of reptilian, non-physical reptilians who were attached to everybody. They were all arrested. There were like 310,000 of them. They were all arrested, and we were talking about that. And I told them, look, let's just wipe out all the evidence that they were ever here, forget about them, and move on with our lives. You know, and I told Victoria Beckham, I was like, you deserve a husband that will celebrate you. Not celebrate you as some Hollywood celebrity, but celebrate you as a woman. Mm-hmm. You know, because David Beckham is running around having sex with every male actor in Hollywood, and it turns out hundreds and hundreds of women, and Victoria was miserable. So now finally they're getting a divorce, but it doesn't really matter because David Beckham's been arrested and he's not coming back. Victoria, I believe, is living in England.
Okay.
That's the funny thing was, I'm sorry, back to Nicole Kidman. And we were talking about that. We were all talking about Tommy, because that's what he prefers to be called. Well, he's been arrested now, too. And she goes, you know, just for the record, I want everyone to know that Tommy really treated me well. He treated me with respect and dignity, and he was really good for me. And I said, you know why that was? That's because you could kick his ass. I was laughing. And Penelope Cruz goes, well, you know, just for the record, I could kick his ass too, and that's why he was really nice to me. But Katie Holmes didn't have it so easy, because what happened with her was the daughter, Suri, you know how children will run into their parents' bedroom? Well, Tom Cruise had reverted back to his natural state of being, which is this dark entity reptilian,
and
Suri saw her daddy as he really is, and she freaked. She started screaming, and then, of course, Katie came into the room. My God, what's going on? You sound like you're being murdered. And she saw Tommy as he really was, and they both freaked. Well, a little bit later on, because we were talking, she knew that Tom Cruise had murdered me 17 times while raping me, and she was terrified. In fact, I even saw that quote. It was one of those magazines like Time or People, and she said, I was literally in fear of my life. So, but luckily, she got, of course, she can't say that in public TV.
Sure.
You know, they wouldn't let her say it, even if she wanted to say that, she couldn't say that.
Right.
But like with Nicole Kidman, we became, after her father was murdered, because her father really abused her, which she never talks about in public. Well, her father was murdered, and even though we have dark entities and as family members, we still love them. You know what I mean? I have a niece that's a dark entity. I mean, she drives me crazy, and I can't be around her, but I still love her.
Right.
But after her father was murdered, he was arrested by the Galactics and taken off. Well, one of the things, he decided to move into the light. He tried to serve negative karma, and because he changed his behavior, he was allowed to send a message to Nicole, but she wasn't able to receive it because, you know, they can't. So they sent her father sent the message to me, and then I called Nicole, and I said, hey, I just talked to your father. He gave me this very detailed message to give to you. And then, you know, and then I gave her the message, and that was one of the things that really brought us a lot closer together. But we had really been through a lot.
Tori, question. So for the simple fact that, you know, you're seeing this other reality, I mean, basically people can just talk to you and go, hey, Tori, can you tell me, you know, what's going on with such and such a situation and, you know, what their sacred light is and, you know, what are you feeling? You can just pull that up right away.
I don't read one person for another. And a lot of people have asked me to do that. And they'd be like, oh, can you read my husband and tell me about him? And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that.
I know you have your scruples. But what I'm saying is you still have that capacity to be able to do that. Like, you know, you live in a world where when you're walking around going down the street to go buy milk at the store, you can go into that other kind of multidimensional field, right? I mean, you can actually see people and what they really are, you know, whether they're right? You've told me that before. So
you mean when I bump into somebody on the street that's not human?
Right.
Yes. Oh, definitely. Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
So how are you able to, you know, because this is a question I get from the listeners is, well, how does Tori know that these guys are arrested when they're still on the media, they're still on TV, they're still showing up to to PR events. They're still supposedly walking the street. What would be your response to that? What are you seeing?
Well, one of the things I do is monitor the clones. And right after the 819 were arrested, all of a sudden, there was a population of 1,347 clones on the planet. And there have been, I believe, 56, a total of 56 clones of George H.W. Bush. And 36 clones of George W. Bush, and the list goes on. Not all at once, because with them, a lot of times they get killed or they're in an accident or whatever, and clones burn out, and now the vibrations are so high. And so one of the first things, like, for example, but the first thing that happens is I get an overwhelming feeling. Like, you know, this goddess that I talked to, Pomona, because I was doing angel readings and stuff, but I was having it done for me. And Pomona came in from heaven, and she said, it's over. It's over. Those who need to drink human blood and use technology to appear human, it's over. And I'm like, okay, that's great. You know, and I'm like, well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And because I learned the hard way that a lot of times when either the galactics or heaven, they tell me, like it was back on Friday night of last weekend, this is happening now. Well, in my mentality, I think, okay, it's happening now. This very minute, it'll be over in 5 minutes. Well, it doesn't work that way because there's a translation between dimensions.
Thanks
and
a lot.
It's happening now can mean it's starting now, but it's going to take 2 weeks to get it done.
Right.
Okay. But, and that's when, and then it was the 819. But see, when the 819 were arrested, the first thing that happened was I got a huge, it was like being hit. You ever stand on the sand in the beach and the waves are high and the wave goes over your head and then it crashes over you and sucks you in the undertow?
Yes.
That's the kind of feeling I get. It was just like, oh my God, what just happened? Right. Something just happened. And that's the way it was on Sunday with that war at the FBI when Obama was arrested. Well, he wasn't arrested with the FBI. They killed the two directors, the benevolent agents. And it's just like, oh my God. And see, like when that is a perfect example, because I'm riding back, you know, my friends wanted me to go to this show in Indianapolis. And then we saw a movie. And the John Goodman movie where he traps the girl down in the thing and then the aliens come or whatever. They think it's an alien attack or whatever. So anyway, we're on the way home from Indy. And all of a sudden, I'm like, holy shit, what's going on? There's all this shit. I like, kapow, I saw like gunfire. And I'm like, what is going on? See, I almost never know what's going on. And it's a process to, and it's not that I try to figure out, because I always tell people theory is the biggest waste of time. Don't ever try to figure something out. Go to sources of the truth and get your truth that way. And once you get that, then go to another source and verify and another source and verify and another source and verify. Because, you know, stuff like that, because I don't want to come out. I never intended to be like a news source. My intention was to do what I can to stop the child trafficking. But the thing is, the people involved in child trafficking, there's all this other news that happens too, like the aliens coming in or whatever. And so there's a lot of peripheral information that happens. But I literally saw, you know, the war, I call it the war at the FBI, where the gunfire was exchanged because the two directors, the 14 benevolent FBI agents went to their two bosses and said, you either allow us to start making arrests or we're going to arrest you.
Interesting.
They whipped out their guns, and before they could kill any of the benevolent officer or agents, there were seven agents that fired simultaneously and killed, and what I had his name, I always forget their names. It was Robert Mueller was one of them that died. And then the other guy, Giuliano. I can never remember his name.
And these are the good guys?
No, those are the two bad guys. Giuliano and Mueller were the two bad guys. See, I have it around here somewhere, but I always forget people's names. That and there's just been so much that's been good. Mark F. Giuliano.
Where did this take place?
On Sunday, it was between 4 and 6 p.m. This is, what, Wednesday? That's, what, 3 days ago?
And
but also...
Where, though, Tori? Where? Do you know?
All I know is in the Washington, D.C. area. I didn't really do a full... Because there's not enough time for me
right.
to research. Right. And see, like, I knew that 18 children... On last Friday, I knew they were bringing 18 children because of my process and what I go through every day with child trafficking. I knew that 18 of the children were being brought to Indianapolis, so I called the police. And I said, look, they're going to bring in 18 children, and they're going to gang rape them, and then they're going to kill them at this location. And the first thing out of their mouth is like, well, how do you know this? And it's like, okay, here we go. Because every time you go to how do you know this, You're speaking to people that have no idea what's possible.
Absolutely. Or
they believe what they're told to believe,
right,
and they can't understand the way I see evidence, the way I connect to evidence.
Right.
And, you know, like I talked to a bunch of attorneys today because it appears that I'm going to be sued. And I said, what you don't understand is all of everything you've done is recorded. And the U.S. senator that's going to sue me, the first thing they asked me, we're like, well, what going to happen? And I said, okay, well, let's take a look. He's raped 32 children, 22 of them are female, and the other 10 are male. He's killed 2 children. And they were like, uh-oh, you know, we don't. And I was like, it's all been recorded. What do you think I look at? You know, I could go look at these videos if I wanted to, but I can't because it's overwhelming to me. Okay. All these videos are kept at the Hall of Justice, and anybody that has more than 51% sacred light can go to the Hall of Justice, and you can't, it's not like watching a porno. It's like watching courtroom evidence. And that, you know, what you asked me about these trials, that because a lot of these trials are over. Like 7 of the Bush trials are complete. And what happens, there's no attorneys, there's no plea bargaining, there's no like win or lose the trial or whatever. What happens is like Barbara Bush. Okay, when Barbara Bush was taken into the courtroom, the first thing that happens was they start showing her video and audio evidence of the crimes she's committed. And this is the point of the trial because the person, she was brought up to the fifth dimension, okay, so she doesn't see things the way she saw them here. And that happens to a lot of us because when we go back to heaven and we go to the Hall of Charts, there's a big HD TV that's oval shaped, and we look at everything that happened from the moment that we were born until the moment we die. And we kind of speed through stuff because you don't need to sit and watch your, if you were sitting watching TV for 8 hours, you don't really, you know what I mean? It's, you just can skip over some stuff.
Sure.
But you see all the important things that you've done, but you don't see them with the same mentality you had here in the state of limited consciousness. You're now fully conscious. You're back to your normal state in heaven. And you're saying, oh, wow, why didn't I help that person? I was so rude to that person. I could have helped that. It would have been so easy for me to do that. And it really, I'm told it really affected her. And so she asked for mercy and asked to move into the light, and she still exists. Her husband does not exist. W. Bush does not exist. Neil Bush, he no longer exists. Marvin Bush's trial is over. He no longer exists. And the other one that was arrested was Prescott Bush.
Wow.
Prescott Bush was Adolf Hitler's best friend and provided monetary compensation so they could carry out World War II. And Prescott Bush, after he was died, the Archons held his soul for a while, and he was moved into the son of Jeb Bush. So the son of Jeb Bush was literally the soul of the other Prescott Bush. It was the same Prescott Bush, but in his other lifetime, I mean, he was the one who was Hitler's best friend. They moved him into Jeb Bush's son, and they had already groomed him and chosen him to be president. But he's too young to be president yet. But he's not going to be president because now he's been hauled off and tried, and he lost the trial, or I should say not lost the trial. But he, when you have, in our terms, when they lose the trial, that means they show no remorse whatsoever. They're proud of what they've done. Bush Sr. had murdered well over 500 children while raping them. He had raped many, many more. He was one of the men who killed JFK. The other guy was this guy, Zbigniew Brzezinski. He had raped like 460-something children, or murdered 460-something children while raping them. And he was the other shooter that killed JFK. And he was also one that was arrested in the 819. Benjamin Netanyahu, Henry Kissinger was arrested. In fact, wait, let's do the rest. The 819, and I had, oh, I got this list down several times, but it was 19 members of the Bush family, 32 members of the Rockefeller family, 56 members of the Rothschild family, and the 56 comes up over and over, because I'm not into numerology, but the Illuminati were, and so a lot of times they would take 56 children and rape and murder them, because there were 56 of these, I call them sewer lizards, because they're horrible monsters, but technically they are dark entity reptilians. And then there were 218 from Hollywood. And I tried to get, Dick Cheney was arrested, Keith Alexander from the NSA, John Brennan, Elizabeth Windsor, the one everybody calls Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah.
She was arrested with the 818, and then also 7 others, her husband, her son Charles, William and Harry, and then 2 other ones who worked on her staff. I think they call it the Royal Court or whatever. Okay, wow. So, and they were the next ones to go. And that's what Pomona had told me about. She told me they were, she didn't tell me they were going to get arrested. She said, it's over. And because these are the entities, and I don't really think they even needed their temporal bodies to come in. And, but it was the ones they call the royals that, that another time I was, while I was being raped, they murdered 16 children in this, right around me. Literally, some of these children were like 5 or 6 feet away from me. And it was, it's not like, and they were literally massacred, because there's a couple different ways they murder, but some of these reptilians are very strong, and they have these like talons, I think they're called, as like fingernails, but it starts like a tube and it bends to a point. They literally rip the flesh right off of these children. So there's blood everywhere, and that's one of those that happened. And this is why I always try to talk about it like I'm like a third person. Like I wasn't really there, but I was, and it's not, maybe that wasn't really me.
And you know what, Tori, you're bringing up another good point, which is once this is all complete and once the My Labs are completely 100% done and all of this is done, we have some serious healing to perform for these precious little beans. Oh, yeah. God.
Well, see, and before, I forgot one of my own cardinal rules was to ask heaven for help, because heaven doesn't just come down and do things for us. But if we ask for help, they do. It's as simple as that. So while these things were going on, there was a point, and I can't remember, up to maybe 2015 or whatever, because most of these children wouldn't get their tunnel of light because they were so traumatized or being raped a couple hundred times and then murdered that they were just wandering around the My Labs. And so what I would do is I would connect and I'd be like, oh my God, there's 36 children. I would just know. And people are like, well, how do you know? And like, when you have your DNA activated, you can connect. And then plus there's all the other ways to go verify, but you just know things. And I would know, oh my God, there was 18 children, only 17 of them didn't make it. And so then I would do my process, which I would do to help ghosts. And I would go in, I would use zero point energy, and I would connect to the souls of these children. Now technically they're called discarnate souls, because a discarnate soul is somebody, dark entities are always taken and put somewhere else. Discarnate souls are what most people call ghosts, but they were good people that just somehow didn't make it back to heaven. They had the tunnel of light, but just for some reason they didn't get in the tunnel of light or whatever.
Well, it's too much shock and trauma.
Yeah, well, that's sometimes...
isn't it what they say? They say that if you blow someone up or they die a really severe, horrific death, it's like one of the worst things that could ever happen to them, because not only is their soul fragmented, but they have a very difficult time getting back to heaven.
Yeah, because a lot of people get lost.
Yeah, they get lost.
And sometimes, like if a man is in love with a woman, he thinks that, or whatever, two people are in love, somebody dies, they don't want to leave, they want to stay with the one that they love. But then a lot of times that person will die and go back to heaven, and they're still wandering around because there's no time with their where they're at. So they can be here for a couple of hundred years.
Yeah.
So what I would do is I would connect to the children and I would say, okay, look, my name is Tori and I'm here to help you. And what we're going to do is you're going to have a choice. We're going to create a tunnel of light, and you can either stay as is if you want, or you can go through the tunnel of light and be greeted by Mother God and the angels and your family and friends.
Anybody ever rejected you?
Nobody ever turns. But see, I don't tell people, like some psychics will go into a haunted castle and start screaming at the ghost, you're dead, go home, you need to go home. See, I never would, because they're usually pissed off. Mm-hmm. There's one place down in Huntington, Indiana, there were three discarnate souls in there. And I connected to them, and the first thing is like, what do you want? And it's just like, okay, you know, here we go. And it's like, and then just matter-of-factly tell them, we're here to give you a choice. And we're going to create tunnels of light for you, and you can either stay as you are and you can exist as you have been, or you can go through the tunnel of light. And in that case, two of them went and one of them didn't. But because I had already connected to him later on, then we went down to this other town, and the soul contacted me. I could hear him. He goes, oh, I should have went. And I could feel the connection there. He was trying to contact me. So we once again created another tunnel of light for him to go home. But that was back to the children. When I was doing that, then I was starting to seriously overload, because when I would connect to the children and talk to them, because a lot of times they would say, what happened? What's going on? And I was like, well, let's not talk about that now, because they were so traumatized, you know, to then start talking about, oh, well, hey, these bunch of monsters came in and they did this to you and that to you. I just avoided that whole thing. And I would say, but what would happen is I would start to overload. And this one time, Dick Cheney had it set up that once the children were murdered, well, I don't think this can be done anymore. I'm sure it can't. But once the children were murdered, they were used in the Archon way. They trapped the souls because these beings used to be able to take the souls of children and put them inside themselves.
But they can't.
And I don't know how they did it. But it was like, well, one time in this exercise, John Brennan, this other guy that's from CIA, I pulled 267 children out of this man. And once again, we had the tunnel of light, and I was literally pulling children out of this man, and they were just going up, just like pew, 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 like fireworks. They were going up, just
but
really
they
rapidly.
They can't do this anymore, right, Tori?
Well, I don't think they can manipulate. The vibrations are too high. For this type of behavior to occur, because the vibrations keep going up and up and up and up. We're going into, like they call it, heaven on earth, and none of this nefarious activity will be able to exist. It just won't be able. And that's what we're going through right now. That's why these people are being arrested, because they can no longer exist, and it's going in order of vibration. And that's why, well, last Sunday it was Obama, Biden, 4 CEOs, and 7 military men. It had reached the point in time where they all basically had the same vibration. So they all went. And like with the reptilians that came in, their vibration was so low, you know what, we didn't really have to go through the same processes that we did with the Dracos. It was so much faster and so much easier. Good. And because things have changed so much. But I was literally going nuts. And one night Dick Cheney went around to every Maya lab and picked up, but right after he picked up those children, I would connect to him. I would pull the souls of like 16 or 18 children out of him and send them up. And it was like a video game. I was chasing him around, and it just got to be too much. And I freaked out after it was all over, and I started crying. I said, I can't do this.
Right.
It's too much for me. Because when you're connecting to the children, you're witnessing the way they were raped and the way they were murdered. And that's
right.
Too much for me.
Right.
Yeah, 'cause it's
absolutely.
And I just asked Mother God for help. I was like, I don't know what to do. And my hand wrote out, ask angels. And I snapped, and I was like, why the hell didn't I think of that before? And I contacted the entire angelic kingdom, and I said, look, we all need your help on this planet. I want to know if it's possible for you to take care of each and every child's soul, and when this is going on, that you can be right there to hold the children's hand to help them and get into the tunnel of light and go home. And the answer was yes. And so from that moment on, I didn't have to go into the My Labs and collect the children and help them get back to heaven anymore, that the angels have now done that ever since. And that's really helped my sanity.
I bet. And, you know, I think the 918, that's a 9.
819, yeah.
819, that's a 9, which is interesting, you know. So, okay, so the first of all, how long have we been on? Because I totally lost track of time.
I don't know.
Oh, such a great job. I think we started at 3:30, right? No, 2:30 or 3:30? 3:30.
I think about 2 hours.
Yeah. So we're getting close to the end. But one of the things that I just want to clarify. So you're basically saying the Bushes, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, Cheney, Netanyahu, a lot of these major players have gone down. You're also saying, now tell them about the My Labs, what you think is going on with them right now.
Well, I kept getting the message that all military bases are going to be closed down next. But I don't like to delve into the future because, you know, like I've said many times, it's not like heaven doesn't just come down and tell us stuff.
Sure.
But since I've been so involved in so many things, usually while something is happening, just after something has happened, that's when you know what I mean? Because a lot of times, especially when you're under attack, you can't, you know, connect to the truth. You can't really do anything because you're under attack.
Right.
Because they're using weapons on you or whatever. So that's why I like to wait and sort things out. But since I also had another list. And also 12 from the Vatican went out. But see
I was going to ask you about the Vatican. So didn't you say Bergoglio?
Yeah, he was one of them. But the main pope was that Nazi war criminal.
Ratzinger.
Joseph Ratzinger. The one that nobody could even stand to look at.
No.
And he was, and then Bergoglio, and then 10 others. And now they have this guy that's running, because the Bergoglio has a clone. And see, that's one of the things to verify was Obama, Barack, and Michelle Obama were supposedly in Cuba watching a baseball game. Because
okay.
Michelle Obama's still here. And I'm like, they're not, Michelle Obama's not going to go into Cuba. There's no way. So I pulled up the DNA. It was Obama clone number 9 and Michelle clone number 3 that were sitting at that video game. But see, clones are synthetic beings that are physical, but they have no soul. And so they don't react the same way people do. And that, you know, there was like Chris Hemsworth clone. He's been arrested, but Chris Hemsworth, oh, it's like I connected to him without trying to, because he was going crazy. And I thought, well, he's been arrested. What's going on? But there was such a strong, I was sodomized 316 times by Chris Hemsworth.
Ew.
And it was none of it was my choice. But the clone was kept saying, after all I did for him, you know, referring to me, this is the way he treats me. Because one of the last times I talked to Chris Hemsworth, I told him to get the hell out. I was like, you're a murderer. And I just snapped and I started screaming, you're a murderer, a murderer. Because he was a Nazi war criminal and had murdered almost all these actors were infused, which is a process, but they were infused. Like Chris Evans, his other half had murdered over 17,000 people in Austria in World War II.
Jeez.
Okay, but we don't see that because what we see is the pretty face.
Right.
And a lot of them are really, really polite and they're really nice. And we don't put two and two together until we take a deeper look. Like Bill Clinton, everybody loved Bill Clinton. Everybody hated Hillary because she was such a bitch. You know, they were both arrested, by the way. But Hillary's clone is the one that's out. But Chris Hemsworth's clone went crazy.
Is there any talk about the clones like shutting down so that people can actually see that this is really truly taking place?
Well, what I've seen is, you know, like I said, right after the arrest, there were 1,347 clones. And last time I checked, there were like less than 400. It was like 367. And because they're burning out because, see, the clones also really thrived in the lower vibrations. Well, you remember December 21st, 2012, when the polarity of this planet went from negative to positive. Well, now it's what, 3 years and a couple of months? 3 years and a couple of months, we've been a positive polarity planet. And the vibrations keep going up and up. And I think it was 2 weekends ago. Well, it was right after they shut down the neuralizer net. That weekend, the vibration went up like crazy. But they had this weapon in Washington, D.C. that went out like a laser beam, which connected to the satellites, which was broadcasting. It was just like in the movie Men in Black with a neuralizer pen, except it was on all the time. And it was this neuralizing energy that affected everybody's brains. And this is why a lot of people don't believe, you know, people from other planets. They think people are all humans. And you know what I mean? They can't connect to reality is because every time they do, bam, they're connected to this neuralizing energy. It takes a lot to overcome that. You know, it takes a lot. There's not a small percentage of people but now that's all even turned off. So now even more people are just starting to be able to see the truth.
I want to comment on that. So the neuralizer net, you and I spoke, was it last Friday about that? That's when it happened?
That's when you had done something similar but different. You were involved in something different.
I was called to do something very similar, and that was on Wednesday night. And it was to lower the blockage net around people's ability to make money.
Wow.
And that was the most profound. What I saw and what was done was just incredible. And it was successful. And then I called you up and I was all excited. And I said, oh my God, you know, and of course they say the same thing, that it takes a while for what happens in the etheric to transform physical. But I just want everyone to know that these truly are happening. These are happening on the inner plane and they are starting to unfold for all of us. We should start feeling a little more ease. And I can feel the load of these beings off the planet. There's no question. And can you confirm when the arrests went down?
The big one, wasn't it right around, I put a video out about it once I was sure, but I was thinking it was either right after Christmas, like maybe right after New Year's.
It was
right around the holidays sometimes. I'm pretty sure it was. It might have even been between Christmas and New Year's. I'd have to go back and check. But I have just been absolutely flooded. And it's harder to get tiny details of something. When something big happens, it's like, okay, this just happened.
Right.
But to go back and say, well, you know, well, what was the shoe size of the guy that killed the other guy? You know what I mean?
Right.
Those details are there, but they're a lot harder to get to. Especially when you're – and today it's just been constant because they did not want us to have those –
I know we're getting to the top of the 2-hour mark, but I do want everyone to know this is a tough subject. It's a hard topic. It's even hard for me to like have to sit here and listen to this, you know, the part about doing these types of things to Tori and the children. But at the same time, we're being called to kind of face the realities and convert these negative atrocities into the light. You know, this is why we're here. We're here to convert, transfigure, transform, bridge. This is the key words that are going on right now amongst the emissaries of light. And I just really wanted everyone to know we are making phenomenal progress. And one of the reasons is because of Tori Smith. I know all of you out there are doing your bit. I know there are so many phenomenal healers out there that write into me and tell me some of the work they're doing. That helps Tori. That helps me. That helps all of us get where we are today. So it isn't just about Tori. It isn't just about me. But I really, Tori, I want to thank you again because I know you've taken so much crap from so many people. I mean, I know I've taken crap because I interview you. But the bottom line is I know your heart is pure as they get. And I'm grateful. I don't know how many times I can say thank you for how dedicated you are.
And what I would like to say to people is what they want to see evidence is to once again create that intent to be able to see and know the truth. But a perfect example of this is Jeb Bush was selected to be the next president. And all of a sudden he dropped out of the race.
Yes.
And, you know, because even CNN had declared that the race was going to be between Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton. And but you know why? It was Jeb Bush's clone was failing. His clone, I think they produced it too fast. They made too many alterations. They cut a lot of body fat off of him. And but all of a sudden, he dropped out of the race. And that is one of the first times that, and then the disappearance of these clones. And what I've been told today was that 10, if we have time, I could give you a real quick list of actors. There are 69 actors are gone, 218.
Oh, my God. Well, just give us a synopsis, because 56. We'll be here.
Well, I think how about Chris Hemsworth, Chris Evans, Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, her father, Tom Cruise, Chris Pine, Kevin Bacon, Nicolas Cage, Henry Cavill, Liam Hemsworth, John Hamm, Joel McHale, Aaron Eckhart, Ben Affleck, Greg Kinnear, Seth Green, Seth MacFarlane, Jack Nicholson, Anthony Hopkins, Tom Hiddleston. It's getting dark in here. Daniel Craig, Judy Dench. Angelica Houston, and they all had to be removed, these 69 actors, well, I can't give you the whole list, but they had to be removed because it was something that also happened to me is there's the being, but this other being would come in. Well, one night I was sleeping and I found myself on my stomach and I woke up and half of me had been absorbed into another being. And that's exactly what happened to these actors because they chose to move to the dark side. They joined the Illuminati. Well, these beings love worship energy, and so they were literally absorbed. Tom Cruise was absorbed into this reptilian being, and that's who he became, the same thing. And if you look back at the early actors, you can see the physical transformation because they usually become better looking, more buff, and all that stuff. But the vibration for them was too low, and since they were both beings, they had to go because they would die, and they're in this process. But literally, all this evidence, because the clones won't be able to exist much longer. So we're going to see physical evidence. I know a lot of people don't see things, but what I'm saying is the Jeb Bush clone dropping out of the race was a perfect example of that. And we're going to start to see, because I was told there was a lot more people arrested today. And it was 17 more DARPA arrested on Monday. And I had another list, but I know we got to go. But it was like, 28. 112 were arrested on Monday, all from the CIA. 28 FBI agents were arrested today. And all these people have murdered more than 100 people.
Wow.
And so there's a that goes from the baddest to the best. But the good people get to stay. And so, but the bad people have to go to another planet. They have to leave. It's just that simple. But I really believe it's going to be within days that this is going to break, because you're never going to see this on the news. But you're gonna definitely see this.
And think about the timing. I've been feeling for a long time that March 21st through March 23rd, there would be some major, major shift on the planet. And I already know some of the work that I'm doing here that has been very monumental. So when I heard that Tori was called at the same time I was to do very similar types of work, at exactly the same day, almost exactly the same day.
Yeah.
That was no coincidence. So there's definitely some major progress. And you know me, everybody, I'm always looking to see where's the progress, you know?
Yeah, me too.
That's the biggie. And so where are we going from here? We've got to focus on the fact that this is our home. We are here with our mother, Mother Earth. This is where we create our heaven. You know, we're not taking off in spaceships and blowing out, unless that's really what you want to do. But the majority of us have agreed to an agreement to be here to assist. This is where we've been waiting for the party of our lifetime. And I think this is just a phenomenal time to get ready for a huge, exciting future. We've gone through a lot. We've gone through a lot.
And one of the best things I've heard lately, because I never like to predict the future, is that this might be all wrapped up by, you know, the new year, April 7th. Right. That they want this, that is supposed to either it's a false message that I just really want to hear, mm-hmm. or it's the really truth that's coming in, because they don't. Because I kept saying, well, wouldn't it be great? You know, I was talking to my spirit guys. Wouldn't it be great if we could wrap all this stuff up and get rid of the temporal, so we wouldn't be attacked anymore? That all this, and we could start a new year. We could start a clean new year by April 7th. And they kept saying yes, yes, yes. And so, you know, but I, like you, focus on the good stuff. And, you know, because these people that have been arrested constantly attack me. And when they were gone, especially Dick Cheney, and he was here like several times a week. And, you know, right after his arrest, I never saw him again. Right after these 819 were arrested, I didn't see them again. I have not seen them since. And to me, every day that goes on without them coming into my home is a blessing. And that's, you know, just another way to know the truth is, okay, they're not coming in. They can't stop. And I told God the other day, I was like, it's almost like if they were dying and they had one more breath of life, they would still try to attack and murder somebody with that last breath of life. And I'm like, what the heck? Why is that? And the answer was, that's the way they're taught from birth. That's the way they're taught to be from birth, to constantly bring harm to other people.
Well, and you know, as one woman reached out to me a couple weeks ago, it is also our duty, I feel, to look at these dark souls and remember that they're just as much a part of this entrapment as we have been, and really, really dig deeply in our hearts and our souls for compassion. That does not mean that they're not going to serve whatever it is that they have to serve. But, you know, resentment and hatred and hostility are not going to serve us. We've got to keep raising the vibration on this planet, because as we continue to do that, less and less of this garbage is going to affect us.
So, yeah.
You know, anyway, Tori, thank you. I love you.
Bizzle. I love you too.
And everyone, stay tuned. I just found out I'm going to be interviewing David Icke next week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that. And, we will see you on the other side. As always, check out our world-renowned implant removal process. It is life-changing. We also have a phenomenal new phase called Guardian Protection Initiation. It has really assisted me, especially with the DARPA chips and stuff. And as always, check out my alchemy. Anyway, stay tuned. You can also send us some emails. We'll forward them over to Tori. But at this time, he really wants to lay low. He just really doesn't want to be bothered with a lot of correspondence and readings. But if you feel it's really urgent, we will pass it along to him. Okay? Thanks. So everyone, have a wonderful rest of your day. And I hope this finds you with joy and promise and excitement for a new future. Talk to you later.
Bye.